Krishna.
So we have been discussing chapter 4 of the Gita, which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. In this, Lord Krishna has described many topics, particularly in the previous section, 25 to 33 verses. He has described the various types of yajna are performed by different kinds of people with different mentalities, with different propensities of work, with different nature. Each person, according to his nature, strives to act and live in a certain way in this world. That is called conditioned nature, which is born out of our activities and propensities acquired in the earlier lives. So people are born with certain tendencies and propensities even in this life, as a carry forward of what was done in the previous lives. And then they perform these various activities. And even amongst those who are striving for spiritual realization, they also strive in different ways for spiritual perfection. It is not that the path of spiritual perfection is one narrow path. There are many paths, and different people with different realizations and understandings of the Absolute Truth try to approach that Absolute Truth in different ways. So therefore we have some people who are inclined towards the path of Jnana Yoga, some people who are inclined to the path of Dhyana Yoga, some people are more inclined to Bhakti Yoga directly. So different processes for realizing the Absolute are there. However, all these processes, giving up of material possessions, giving in charity, so on, are meant to attain a higher spiritual goal. So the last verse of this section of chapter 4, that is text 33, the section is 25 to 33, these verses, Lord Krishna has concluded this section by saying that although the kinds of sacrifices may be different, but the goal of all ultimately is to obtain transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So naturally the question, if obtaining spiritual knowledge is the goal of all our activities, jivasya katha, this is the verdict of the Shastra. Jivatma or the individual is meant to inquire into the higher things in life, not meant simply for just enjoying the senses. Kamasya nendriya priti labho jivetayavata jivasya tattva jigyasa nartho yascheha karmabhihi. So the living entity in the human form of life is not just meant for living like the animals who simply eat fat. But rather, the living entity in the human form is meant to do tattva jigyasa, athato brahma jigyasa. He must inquire about higher things in life. So from where does one get this knowledge? One may inquire and inquire and inquire. But from whom? What is the process? So that answer is given by Lord Krishna in text 34, which is a very, very important verse of the Bhagavad Gita. And definitely all of us sitting here in this room in the temple today should try to memorize this verse. This explains the need for the aspirant, for the spiritual sadhaka, to obtain a guru or a spiritual master. So let us chant this verse together. I will chant, then you repeat after me, and then you can also practice chanting.
Tadvidhi pranipatena Pariprashnena sevaya Upadekshyanti te jnanam ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः तद्विद्धि प्रणिपात।
माताजी, एनी लेट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद, जस्ट ट्राई टू लर्न द ट्रूथ बाय अप्रोचिंग अ स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर, इंक्वायर फ्रॉम हिम सबमिसिवली एंड रेंडर सर्विस अन टू हिम। द सेल्फ रियलाइज्ड सोल्स कैन इम्पार्ट नॉलेज अन टू यू बिकॉज दे हैव सीन द ट्रूथ। काइंडली रिपीट, जस्ट
ट्रूथ।
So please do try to memorize this verse at home. This can become a habit and it is a very useful and wonderful way of absorbing the mind in spiritual subjects. Or you can try to memorize some verses. It doesn't matter if somebody can memorize more and somebody less. Maybe somebody cannot remember very much, maybe somebody easily, doesn't matter. But if we make it a It is a very useful thing. And then, when it becomes a habit, we develop a kind of taste in that. We develop a deeper understanding of the scripture. It increases our faith. Also, when we are explaining to other people, then we can cite the shloka and explain by evidence, pramana. Also, in the spare time that one is moving around, one absorbs the consciousness in Krishna. It will draw our mind away into Maya. So it is a habit of good opportunities. For example, the brahmacharis in the temple, if you go in the ashram, you will find little slips of paper or verses, cards put at various places. Even on the mirror, where they will shave, they will see and then memorize. They're brushing their teeth, they will see the shloka there and remember that shloka. Or perhaps it's up on the wall when they're changing clothes or when they've just come in, they will see the card there, they will see that again, repeat. So similarly, every one of us in our own situations can try to do this. Very useful. Lord Krishna is explaining the absolute necessity of obtaining a spiritual master, a guru. What does a guru give? Does a guru give prosperity or progress in material life? Does a guru give us some relief from our material sufferings? Suppose I'm suffering from a disease and he miraculously cures me of that particular disease. Does a guru see to it that my daughter or son is not getting married and he will get married? Is the job of the spiritual master to see that one samsara is going on very smoothly and nicely? No. The guru is not meant for any of these things. The spiritual master is meant for giving us transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge. What is the meaning of transcendental? To transcend, to go beyond. That which goes beyond the material. With our senses and eyes and ears and intelligence, we cannot understand that which is beyond this material world. What to speak beyond matter, we cannot even understand this world. How much have the scientists been able to understand of this world? How much have the doctors been able to understand about this body? How much have the scientists been able to understand one atom? Or what to speak of some corner of the ocean or some corner of the earth? What to speak of the universe which is so large? We cannot imagine. And there are innumerable, countless such universes, brahmandas. So how possible that even with the most powerful instruments like telescopes and so on, how can they understand this creation? Even this material world cannot be understood. It is impossible. Never, never, ever can the scientists be able to understand this universe. even that which is material is impossible to understand. It is completely bewildering. It is simply the play of Maya. Therefore, it is because of the play of Maya that scientists change their theories every day. Every day, Maya is presenting material nature in a different way. And they see a different thing and present a different theory. This is a history of all development in science. It is impossible to understand even the material things with material senses. So then, how can we understand spiritual things with material senses? Not possible. So you can imagine how foolish are those people who ask the question, what is the proof that there is God? As if God were some chemical to be mixed in a laboratory in a test tube, and then you show this is God. See, white chemical plus yellow chemical is going to become this gas has come. No. This is a big science, a very deep science. It is beyond our senses. It is called adhokshaja, that which is beyond the eyes, ears, tongue, the skin, and so on. Grahya indriya, these gross senses cannot understand that which is subtle. Can we see the mind? Can we see the intelligence? Can we see these things? Can we feel these things? One time one devotee was saying that one Andhashraddha Nirmulan, and this rationalist association people were having a program. Of course, there are many things that they say which we agree with, like all the blind superstitions we don't agree with. But there are many things which they say which is something we will very, very... So they got up on the stage and they made a challenge. Can anyone prove that God exists? Prove that God is existing. And he was a very famous film personality. Very well known. And so naturally a lot of people had come to see him more than to hear him. And so he spoke. People do not know when they should not speak. He is a film personality. He should stay to films. He should not talk about subjects which are beyond his purview. But he ventured to talk about God as if he were an authority on the subject. And then he declared, there is no God. What is the proof that there is God? Can you show me there is God? And in this way he went on speaking. And the people at large are innocent. They do not have much training in spiritual knowledge. So whatever some influential or charismatic or powerful personalities say very forcefully, they accept. This is the power of powerful people. They can sway the opinions of people. And nowadays, unfortunately, all powerful with all the wrong opinions. So the whole society is following in their footsteps. One who is blind is leading others who are blind. And they are all going into a very bad situation, hellish situation. Then one man stood up. He was a professor somewhere. And he came up to the stage and said, before I answer your question, can you show me mind? Can you show me intelligence? He could not answer. Of course, he tried to give some answers. So he said, just as you cannot see, touch, feel these subtle material things, which are still material, but you can understand intelligence, mind by symptoms, similarly, you don't have to see God with your eyes and ears immediately to understand that God exists. You have to first hear about Him. You have to purify your mind. These senses are not in a position to understand something which is beyond the senses. So God cannot be understood in this way. God is a reality. He is existing, but He can be understood by His symptoms to start with. So this is a very important point. For example, we see that there is perfect harmony in nature around us. Now, how is this coming about unless there is a God behind it? Some intelligence is there behind it. It is logical. It is common sense. But still people say it is coming by chance. So in this way, there are many, many wrong theories which are very popular now. And it is only a person who is fixed in spiritual knowledge who will be able to defeat all these false arguments and give knowledge that is coming from the spiritual world. Such a person is a guru. A guru should be able to defeat ideas which are wrong, which are produced by imperfect senses. However brilliant a person may be, if he is creating his own theories and own arguments, he is 100% wrong. He cannot be correct. It is not because somebody has won Nobel Prize that he is correct. No. Prabhupada used to speak very strongly. It is not the position of sadhus to speak strongly. But Prabhupada said, what to do? There is so much cheating going on. All the most influential people, the intelligent people, are all saying there is no God. So I have to speak like this, he said. And he said, what is this Nobel Prize? One fool giving prize to another fool. One ignorant person recognizing another ignorant person. One cheater praising another cheater. All saying there is no God. So therefore it needs a personality like Srila Prabhupada to be bold, to come out into the world and say, you are wrong. You may be Nobel Prize winner. You may be whatever, some Academy Award winner. But you are wrong. Because God exists. And this is the reason I say He exists. So the people of this world are going to give answers or going to give opinions based upon what their senses are able to perceive in this world. But our senses are defective, imperfect. We have a tendency to be illusioned. We have a tendency to make mistakes. We have a tendency to cheat. And therefore, the ordinary or even the extraordinary human being cannot produce perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be produced only by the perfect person. And that is God. So the knowledge of transcendence, knowledge of that which is beyond matter, which is beyond this material world, that is a Paurusheya, coming from God directly, through the Veda, through the scriptures. So the guru is one who teaches on the basis of Veda, or the knowledge. Veda means knowledge. So he repeats that. So unless one hears from a guru who is well versed in the Vedas or the scriptures, one cannot understand that which is beyond the senses. How has the guru then understood? Because he has heard from his guru. Then how has that Param Guru understood? Because he heard from his guru. And how did that Param Guru understand? This is called the Guru Shishya Parampara, the disciplic succession. So how did the first guru understand? He heard directly from God. This is the point, that a true guru must come in a bona fide disciplic succession, Guru Shishya Parampara. Without being linked to the proper parampara, one cannot be a genuine. So because the first person in that spoken to by God, and the inner sampradaya has been inaugurated from the time of creation of this material world, therefore such a guru is accepted. Not that somebody just comes today and says, God has directly spoken to me and I am starting new sampradaya. No, that is not possible. All these sampradayas, bona fide sampradayas, have started from the time of creation of this universe. Nobody can come midway and say, suddenly I am starting new sampradaya. So knowledge starts with God. He is a source, the origin of all knowledge. He is the knower of all knowledge. And He is the disseminator of all knowledge. He is the object of all knowledge. He is the purpose of our acquiring knowledge. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyah vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. When you study the Veda, the purpose is to know Him. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyah. Krishna says to know me is the purpose of the Vedas. Vedanta krit, I am the one who has compiled the Vedanta. Vedavit, I am the one who knows the Vedas. So God knows everything perfectly. This is one of the meanings of God. There is a word called sarvajna, one who knows everything. Omniscient, that means he knows everything past, present, future. There is nothing that he does not know. If there is even one thing that God does not know, he cannot be God. God has to be perfect and complete in everything. So therefore, God being the source of all true knowledge, spiritual and material, He chooses a very qualified person who is very dear to Him. His Priyatama Bhakta, His dear devotee, and imparts this knowledge to him. And thus, the Guru Shishya Parampara begins. Vande Krishna Jagat Guru, you have heard that. That he is the original Jagat Guru, Adi Guru. And from him, all the other Gurus come. He is the original powerhouse. And then the electric current comes from there. And it goes through various conductors and lines, electric lines. And at various points, there are so many distribution channels. And ultimately, which is the consumer? It is the same current. The knowledge is the same. It may be of a different voltage, different amperes, but it is an electric current that is produced at the generating station. So same way, Lord Krishna is the original generating station of knowledge. And then the intermediate power stations, substations, are like the various gurus in the parampara. And we are the consumer. We are using our tape recorder, our fan, light, we are putting on the switch or putting in a plug, and we are having access to that electricity. So when we connect ourselves through the medium of a guru, through a guru shishya parampara, it is as good as ourselves connecting to God directly. Just like when you want to play a tape recorder and you insert the switch inside the switch box, you have directly connected to the power station. Only there are some intermediate steps involved. So what is the Guru Shishya Parampara? The Guru Shishya Parampara is the process of connecting an individual direct to God. The Guru is the instrument who connects you. He is the via medium. He is a transparent via medium who connects you to God. When our vision is defective, then we have to wear spectacles, isn't it? And then we cannot see without spectacles, so we have to be very careful, we have to see. And then we have to change our number with age. So the Guru is like a spiritual spectacle. Spiritually, we are all defective. We do not have proper knowledge. Therefore, the Guru gives us this spiritual knowledge. He gives us the spiritual eyes by which we can see things as they are. Therefore, there is a famous verse that I am sure you have all heard. That is from the Gautamiya Tantra. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksharun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what is the meaning of this? Ajnanati Mirandhasya. That I was born in the darkness of ignorance and I was blind. Andhasya, ajnana timira. Ajnana means ignorance, timira means darkness. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. That means I did not know any spiritual knowledge. Who is God? Who am I? What is my relation with God? What is real happiness? I did not know anything. Jnana anjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena. But he has come with a shalakaya, with an operating instrument, to apply with that instrument anjana, jnana anjana. Anjana means ointment. So with a particular instrument, he is applying the ointment of divine knowledge to my eyes, which were covered with darkness. To such a personality who is my spiritual master, I offer my humble respects, pranams, obeisances. So the Guru is one who gives us spiritual eyes by which we can see something that normally cannot be seen or understood. One who has spiritual knowledge and one who doesn't have spiritual knowledge, they may see the same thing, but they will understand differently from that same thing. Just like, suppose there is one person who likes to eat, drink and enjoy. He will see the bottle of liquor in one way. Ah, it is wonderful. How much enjoyment. The one with knowledge will see that as poison. So the object they are seeing is the same. But the other person is seeing with the glasses of knowledge. So the other person also sees that bottle. But even though he is seeing, he still does not see the reality that it is poison. Pashyannapina pashyati. Even though he is seeing, still he does not see. That can enable you to see when you are seeing. That is the Guru. When he gives you spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, then you can see things as they are. As they are means in truth, tatvena, as it is. This is real science. Once Prabhupada was asked, what a nice definition. He said, science means to understand things as they are. But science does not mean some physics, chemistry, some big mathematics, formula, all this stuff. To understand things as they are. Why a person is dying? Because the soul is leaving the body. Knowledge. Tattva. Why are we suffering? Because we have forgotten God. Simple. God is existing. The jiva is existing. The jiva is meant to serve God. Simple. Tattva. This is science. This is reality. When we forget this reality, then we are in suffering. Dharma projhita kaitavotra parvo ninmatsaranam satam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon moolanam is Srimad Bhagavatam. That this Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana is the original pure dharma of the Atma, of the soul. In this Bhagavad Dharma, real religion, race and religion and nationality and all that, in this there is no place for any cheating religion. There is no place for all wrong conceptions. My opinion, your opinion, his opinion, no. There is place only for one opinion. God's word. It is meant for those who are nirmatsara, nirmatsaranam, those whose hearts are free from envy. Matsara. Vastavam atra vastu. Vedyam. This can give understanding, knowledge, vedyam, of that truth which is the essence of all truth, which is really true, which is truly true. Vastavam vastu. Jo vastav mein satya hai. That which is really true. That is Veda. That is scripture. So the Guru is meant to give us knowledge that is truly, that is the essence of truth, by which we can understand things as they are. So therefore, accepting a bona fide spiritual master is not a matter of choice. It's not that if I feel like I will one day accept, but so far I can understand truth on my own. No, it is not possible. One cannot understand simply by one's own speculation. Although one must, under the orders of the spiritual master, read the books and read his books, two wonderful books. By reading his books, we can understand. But still we need not just a Pustak Bhagavat, but we also need Vyakti Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat, who will explain the Pustak Bhagavat. Both things are necessary. So Bhagavat appears in two forms, the written form and also the person form. So therefore it is an imperative. Imperative means vidhilinga. It must be done. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta. Therefore if you want to understand this absolute truth, approach a bona fide spiritual master. Gurum prapadyeta. Surrender to a guru. Tat vijnanatham sa gurum evabhigacchet. Again the Upanishad declares, if that science of artham, if you want to acquire, sa gurum eva abhigacchet, you must approach. Abhigaccha means to go towards, to approach. You must approach. It is vidhilinga. Abhigacchet means you must go, compulsory. It is a duty of every human being to approach a guru. That is one of the differences between the human species and the animal species. Otherwise, eating, sleeping, mating, defending is going on in both. There is family maintenance going on in both. The animals are maintaining their families. The human beings are maintaining their families. The animals are working hard day and night for their sustenance and survival. Human beings are also working hard. The animals are also striving for power and leadership within their society. So are the human beings. The animals are striving for happiness and satisfaction. So are the human beings. So what is the difference? Difference is that the human being can approach a guru to understand spiritual knowledge, which an animal cannot. So Shastra says that a person who is not inclined to approach spiritual authorities for obtaining spiritual knowledge platform, very Shastra, as we see statements which are extremely strong. That is to shake us. Sometimes we need to make strong statements to shake us out of our material slumber. So that is a need for us to approach a certain guru. Spiritual truths are very difficult to understand. Scriptures are many. Shrutayo vibhinna. Scriptures, 108 Upanishads are there. Puranas are there. The four main Vedas are there. So many Upavedas are there. Brahmana, Aranyaka, so many scriptures. Mahabharata, Ramayana. Do we have the time to read? And if we read also, can we understand? And then we will be thoroughly confused. We will never be able to understand what is what. So therefore, how does dharma come into our life? Dharma is to be understood not by simply reading books, tarko apratishtha, not simply by arguments, but by what process? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatahasa pantha. Dharma is hidden in the hearts of the great saintly personalities. And by following in the footsteps of these Mahajans, by following their instructions, truths of dharma are revealed. It is a process of revelation. We cannot command. There is no system of donation to get entry here, capitation fees. Like many now professional colleges everywhere, you have to give hefty donation fees. 1 lakh, 5 lakh, 10 lakh. And then you get admission. And then you can hear lectures on medicine, engineering or whatever it may be. But here you cannot demand. Once you have paid your fees, then you can demand why lecture is not there. Why laboratory is not properly equipped. Why I am not getting all the information that I want. But here, it is not a question of demanding. It is a question of submitting oneself. And then the knowledge is revealed. The process of revelation is very important. The kingdom of God, as the saying goes, cannot be conquered by storm, by commando operation. Break open guns. Yes, I have entered kingdom of God now. It has to be understood in a very humble way. So therefore the next question arises, then how to approach the Guru? Therefore Krishna says here, pranipatena. Pranipatena means prakrishta rupena nipata. Nipata. Nipata means to fall flat. Pranipatena means to danda spiritual master in a humble way, to offer namaskar, pranam. Why is that instruction given? So that we can give up our ego, so that we can become humble. Knowledge can be understood only when one is humble. Even materially we understand this. Even in any ordinary college, if a student thinks he from the professor or the teacher, it is not possible. Unless a student accepts that the teacher knows more than him or her, how can the student learn? So therefore, it is necessary for the aspiring spiritual candidate to be actually become very humble and approach the spiritual master. So here in the verse that we are discussing today, it is saying, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena. To understand that, Tat, he is starting this verse with Tat. Tat means that knowledge. Which knowledge? Which he has referred to in the earlier verse. Transcendental knowledge. So if you want to attain transcendental knowledge, then Pranipatena, first step, Pranipata. You have to become humble. Then the knowledge is revealed. The acquiring of spiritual knowledge does not depend on any material condition of life. It does not mean. It doesn't depend whether one is second standard passed or whether one is SSC or whether one is PhD. It doesn't matter. Because spiritual knowledge has a different method altogether. As we will see in this discussion, this subject is very large. So we will not be able to discuss every aspect of this today. But nevertheless, we will discuss some aspect. So when the spiritual master becomes pleased, then he bestows understanding. The process is so made by God that when the disciple pleases, then God from within the disciple's heart reveals many things. This is the process. When we follow the Lord's instruction, because it is Lord Krishna's instruction that we should accept a Guru and we should follow instruction. So when we follow Lord Krishna's process, then he becomes pleased with us. When we please his representative, the Guru, then Lord Krishna becomes pleased with us. And from inside the heart, he reveals spiritual knowledge. It is not simply a matter of instruction externally. It is also a matter of internal revelation by the Lord himself to the sincere disciple. As Lord Krishna explains in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. For those who are constantly satata yuktanam, who are constantly engaged in my bhajan, in my service, priti purvakam, with great love and devotion, dadami, I give to them buddhi yogam, that spiritual understanding, that spiritual intelligence, yenamam upayanti te, by which they can approach me and obtain me. Tesham agyanajam partha, then agyan is removed. That agyan which is seated in the heart at this time is removed by the torchlight of knowledge that is lit by the Lord of the heart. Jnana deepena bhasvata. So this is the process. Yasya prasadat bhartopi. Every day in the morning in the Mangal Arati we chant the Gurvashtakam prayers of a great personality called Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So in this last verse of this Gurvashtakam, it says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. That is, the spiritual master's mercy is there if he is pleased, bhagavat prasadam, God is pleased. Yasya aprasadat, but if he is not pleased, nkati kutaha api, then what is the destination that is there? That means there is no destination for such a person. Because the spiritual master is the transparent via medium to God, because he is the representative of God, therefore he is the one who takes us to God. So pleasing him is as good as pleasing God. This is the process. So with strong faith, when one endeavors on the spiritual path, then automatically everything becomes tasyaite kathithai artha prakashante mahatmanah. The Upanishads declare that for one who has firm faith in the Guru and also in the Lord, the Lord has special understanding of the Vedas, of the scriptures. He understands the scripture because he has that faith. With that faith, when he tries to read the scripture, then from inside Lord Krishna gives that understanding. Vedame Buddhi Yogam. You know this famous story which we repeat many times in our temple, that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, and at Sri Rangam, he met one Brahmana who was studying Bhagavad Gita daily, sitting in one place in the courtyard of the temple. And he was not a very learned Brahman. So he could not pronounce the shlokas properly. And all the other Brahmanas used to make fun of him because they were very expert and fluent. Their pronunciation was perfect. Their memory was perfect. They knew all the verses. Whereas this Brahmana was not so well learned. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there and he saw that he was reciting Bhagavad Gita. And, what are you reciting? It seems that you are reading Bhagavad Gita. He says, yes, you see, I am illiterate. I don't know how to read much, but I know little bit, something I am trying. So my pronunciation is not proper. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, then why is it that tears are flowing from your eyes? He said, because I am reading this Bhagavad Gita as per the instruction of my Guru. My Guru has told me that every day I must read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Every day I must read. So I am reading every day. And the tears are coming because as I read, although I do not understand the verses properly, I am remembering in my mind that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of all the universes, such a great and powerful personality, has become the servant of his devotee. And he is driving his chariot. He has become his driver. He wants to move left and right. He kicks the chariot wall. And by understanding the noise, overwhelmed with devotion for him. And therefore the tears are flowing in my eyes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, you are the true knower of the Bhagavad Gita. These Brahmanas don't know. Although they are very learned, but they don't know. Pashyan api na pashyati. They are reading, but still they don't know. You don't know how to read, but still you know. Because you have followed faithfully the orders of your spiritual master. Therefore the Lord has revealed to you from within the real meaning of the Shastra. The real meaning of the Bhagavad Gita is to develop such devotion to Lord Krishna. Krishna says again and again that the sum and substance of everything is to love him. All over the scriptures, the process is to understand his servant, the devotee, the spiritual master, and then by his grace, one can understand not. So one can understand not only all transcendental knowledge, that is God himself. And to show how important this process is, God, when he descends into this world in his different avatars, he also accepts a guru. So we see that Lord Krishna was also, he accepted in his boyhood, first of all, Gargacharya, who did his Namakaran Sanskar, etc. He was a Kula Guru. And he blessed the family of Nanda Maharaj. He performed the initiation for Krishna and Balaram. And later on, Krishna and Balaram, when they went to Mathura, they went ahead to Ujjain to study under Sandipani Muni. So they accepted him as a Guru. From him they learnt all the Upanishads, all the devotional arts, when Lord Ramachandra descended, then he also took instruction from Vasishtha Muni, from Vishwamitra Muni. When Lord Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also accepted Ishwar Puri and many other senior gurus, the nation of God. He is the compiler of all the Vedas, but still he accepted Narad Muni as his spiritual master. So in this way, the Lord himself has set the example for us to follow. And that it is a necessity in the human form of life to accept a spiritual master, so that one can understand those subject matters which are beyond one's senses. There was a great saint called Sanatan Goswami. He lived about 500 years ago. He was a disciple and great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and he was traveling from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan, he halted on the way at Varanasi, Kashi, and there instructed Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami formerly, along with his brother Rupa Goswami, had been ministers in the cabinet of the king of Bengal, who was Nawab Hussain Shah. And all the two of them had been born in a Saraswat Brahmin family from Karnataka. Many generations ago, their forefathers had migrated to Bengal and they had begun serving the Nawab. So although they were very learned, but because they had taken the service of a Yavana, so, and they had got names like that also, Sakar Malik, Dabir Khas, they had got Muslim names also. So they were not considered as Hindus by the Hindu community people. They were considered not to be associated with. So although he was in that position, at a very young age, he was like the home minister or the prime minister of the king, earning lot of money, very learned actually, but he left everything. He gave up the service of the Nawab and fled from there, took sannyas because he wanted to join the party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, he came to Varanasi just at the same time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And at that time, he was, because of many days of traveling, he was looking like a fakir. Big beard, long hair, dirty, his clothes were torn. And then he arrived there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw him, embraced him, and told another devotee, please make him gentle and bring him. That means, please shave him, cut his hair, give him nice clean clothes, and bring him. So he brought him. Sanatan Goswami came with a nice, fresh, simple cloth. And he had that costly blanket which his brother-in-law had given him just before he left. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased that Sanatan Goswami had now taken sannyas, and he did not accept invitations at home, and he was instead doing madhukari. Madhukari means like a bee goes from flower to flower collecting honey. So some sadhus in many holy places, they go home to home, collect one chapati or some little rice, some sabji, little so much, and then whatever they get, they eat that and are satisfied with that. So he was doing madhukari and living like a sannyasi. And he looked at it again and again, didn't say anything. But Sanatan Goswami understood that he is not approving of my costly blanket. So what did he do? He immediately went to the bank of the Ganga, and there he saw one beggar. That beggar had a quilt, which was... So he told the beggar, my dear man, here let us exchange our blankets. You take my blanket, give me your blanket. So the beggar said, my dear sir, you look like a very holy man. It is not proper for holy men to make fun of poor people. Why you are making fun and jokes with me? He said, no, I am serious. You give me your old blanket and take this new one. The beggar said, all right. He took that new blanket, and Sanatan Goswami took that old blanket which was torn and not in good condition. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he said, very nice. He said, Sanatan, you have done the right thing. For a sannyasi to wear all kinds of opulent cloth,
and surround himself with lots of money and so on and so forth, and personally live in luxury, this is not good. It reduces his spiritual power, and also people then make fun of him. The public at large will not accept such a sannyasi. So you have done the right thing. So Sanatana Goswami at that time, he held some straws, he picked up some straws from the ground, put it between his teeth, and he fell flat before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering full pranam, pranipatena. It is called dandavat pranam. Dandavat, like a danda, like this, fall flat. So he fell flat like this, offered danda pranam, and he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who became his guru. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also the Supreme Lord. But here, he was fortunate to have him directly as his guru. And then, Sanatana Goswami, after having properly approached the guru, he did the next step, which is pariprasnena, to ask questions. So in what way did he ask questions? What questions did he ask? And so on. We will see next time. And after that, there will be some question answers. This subject is not over. We will continue this subject again. And then after question answers, there will be. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Krishna, 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 Krishna.